This is my Bible. It is the Word of God, and it is the will of God for my life. I am who the Word says I am. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm where the Word says I am, seated right now in Christ Jesus in the heavenly realms, the place of authority, dominion, and power. I have what the Word says I have. All the blessings of Abraham are mine. And I can do what the Word says I can do. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Today my mind is alert. My spirit is receptive. As I'm taught the Word of God, my life has changed for the better. And I will never be the same again. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're wrapping up our 2024 Holy Week Revival. Seven steps to answered prayer. Number one, know what you want from God and find the scriptures that definitely promise you those things. Number two, ask God for the things you want and believe that you receive them. Number three, let every thought and every desire affirm that you have got what you have asked for. Number four, guard against every evil thought that comes into your mind to try and make you doubt God's word. Number five, meditate constantly on the promises upon which you based the answer to your prayer. Three verses we ask you to meditate on to get ready for this week, John 15, 7. You know, I've memorized these verses in various translations, so I'm using the New King James here, so I'm kind of dependent on looking at it with my eyeballs. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. I love the certainty of the word of God. Mark 11, 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. 1 John 5, 14, 15, this the confidence we have in him, we have in him approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have. Shout out loud, we know that we have.
We know that we have.
We know that we have what we asked of him. Amen?
Amen.
All right, step number six, in your every waking moment, think on the greatness of God and his goodness and count your blessings. Number six, in your every waking moment, think on the greatness of God and his goodness, and count your blessings. See, a lot of times people will wake up and they go to thinking about the problem. That's kind of natural because of our adversary who is arrayed against us. They see the challenge. They think about the challenge. And the answer, maybe, has not materialized yet. In Acts chapter 4, after the man at the gate called Beautiful was healed, and Peter and John were arrested, and they were brought before and questioned by the Sanhedrin and commanded to teach and preach no more in the name of Jesus. Do you remember that? Now look at Acts 4:23, and being let go, they went to their own company. And that's a good place to go when you get in trouble, is to your own company, which means people who believe like you believe and people that aren't going to try and throw water on your confessions of faith. Amen?
Amen?
I don't know about you, but I like hanging around faith people. The New King James says, and being let go, they went to their own companions. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. And when they heard that, you see, their own company, their own companions, you see, they were hanging out with faith people. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they, that is their company, heard that, they lifted up their voice and said, Lord, it looks like we're all going to end up in jail. What are we going to do? Help us, Lord, some way or another to work out some kind of a compromise or agreement. Is that what they said?
No.
Talk to me. Is that what they said?
No.
No. Acts 4:24, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. So they started talking about how big God is. And It's amazing that you even have to tell Christians this, but we shouldn't be talking about how big the problem is. We should be talking about how big God is.
Amen.
We shouldn't be talking about how big the problem is. We should be talking about how big God is. We shouldn't be talking about, you know, how much money we're talking about. We ought to be talking about how big God is. They didn't start talking about how big the problem was. They started talking about how big God is. And they didn't even pray. I want you to notice they didn't even pray. They just went to praising God. They went to thinking on and declaring the greatness of God. They went to thinking on and declaring the greatness of God. How great He is. How big He is. If you read the passage, they spent very few words talking about the problem, and most of their words were talking about how great God is. Skip down to the 29th verse, Acts 4:29. "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Now, they've been talking about in verse 24, 25, and 26, and 27, they've been talking about how big God is, and they've been talking about God's plan and sending Jesus and all of that. Verse 29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." They're not about to back down. They're not about to compromise. They're not about to seek a settlement. Verse 30, "By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus." Now look at the next verse. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they had assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." They spake the word of God. They spoke the word of God with boldness. The place is the house where they were praying, and it shook. I mean, literally, the house shook. You know, folks get excited when somebody shakes under the power and falls down under the power. Well, brother, bless God, wait until the building starts shaking. Then people will really get excited. Now, look at this, verse 31, And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they had assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Well, I thought they just got filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Well, there is the initial infilling or baptism of the Holy Spirit, but there is also, hallelujah, many refillings of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So then in your every waking moment, think on the greatness of God and His goodness, and count your blessings, and faith will increase. Pastor, how do I get my faith to increase? In your every waking moment, think on the greatness of God and His goodness, and count your blessings, and faith will increase. Lift up your heart to God constantly in gratitude and in increasing praise for what He has done and for what He is doing for you now. We have this problem. I'm getting ahead of myself, but we want God to do something. The fact of the matter is the work's done. When Father God created or recreated the heavens and the earth, took 6 days, and man, He rested. And then on the seventh day, He rested. And Jesus, after the death, burial, going to hell, taking the keys of death and hell from Satan, the resurrection, and then He ascended to His Father, He sat down. The work was done. The work is done. See, the game Satan wants to play in our minds is that there's some big cosmic struggle going on, and we're not quite sure who's going to come out ahead, the devil or God. We're not quite sure whether the devil's going to prevail here or whether God is going to prevail here. You just have to get it settled in your mind. Hallelujah. That Jesus made an open show and spectacle of Satan on Calvary's cross. Jesus put to naught every work of Satan on Calvary's cross. Satan is defeated. Jesus is Lord, and the Word of God is true.
Amen.
Amen. So lift up your heart to God constantly in gratitude and increasing praise for what He has done, past tense, and for what He is doing for you now. maintain that all things are possible. Say it out loud, all things are possible. You know, it's sad because you can ask in a public service, how many of y'all believe that all things are possible with God? And hands go up everywhere. But then you can ask in a public service, how many of y'all believe that all things are possible for him that believeth? And only a fourth or a third of the hands go up. You see, people immediately recognize that the second question puts the responsibility on them, the believer. Oh, I don't want to lift my hand there. Him that believeth means I have a part to play. No, the same Bible that says with God all things are possible. In fact, the same Jesus who said that with God all things are possible is the same Jesus who said all things are possible for him that believeth. Say it out loud. All things are possible,
all things are possible
for him that believeth.
Amen.
How many of you believe?
Amen.
Say all things are possible,
all things are possible
for me.
Because I believe.
Now see, that if you have any trouble getting that past your teeth, well, you need to go back at point one and work back through all of this. Because what happens is, as you work through these points, you come into a place not of knowing, but you come into a state, you come into a state not of hoping, but you move from a state of hoping into a state of knowing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's what God wants to do in this week and even tonight, is to move us from a state of hoping into a state of knowing. Jesus said unto him in Mark 9:23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Say it out loud. All things are possible to him that believes. Say it out loud. I'm not a doubter. I'm a believer. All right, now you're ready for step number 7, and this is the last one, and it's so important. And listen real carefully to how I say it, because if you take it out of context and take it away from the other steps, then you'll make it say something that it's not saying. Number 7, make every prayer relative to what you've asked for a statement of faith instead of a statement of unbelief. Make every prayer relative to what you've asked for a statement of faith instead of a statement of unbelief. Now, that's a little blind to us, and let me point out that even when you're praying, just because you're praying doesn't mean that you're in some kind of demon-free vault and he cannot whisper thoughts to you or bring emotions to you or whatever nefarious thing he's up to. So even while you're praying, thoughts will come. Even while you're praying, emotions will come. And before you know it, your train left the tracks, and you're begging God, and you're pleading with God, and, you know, you're calling out for mercy and all of that stuff. I've been down all of these roads. Tell your neighbor, pastor's been down all of these roads. So make every prayer relative to what you've asked for a statement of faith instead of unbelief. See, you can say, I do have faith, or you can say, I do believe that I have what I prayed, I do have what I prayed for, just as easily as you can make a statement of unbelief. You can make a statement of faith just as easily as you can make a statement of unbelief. You can say, I do believe, and I have what I prayed for. 1 John 5:14-15, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have. We know that we have. We know that we have. That's why we have to meditate on these certain verses. We know that we have what we've asked of him. See, if I've gone to the Word, not point number one, if I've found at least 3 verses that promise me what I'm believing God for, and then I go to God on that basis, 1 John 5:14-15 tells me that I know that I have it. I know that I have. So I'm not begging. I'm not pleading. I'm not calling out for mercy. I'm not cajoling. I'm not frustrated. I'm not angry. I know that I have it. I proceed on the basis that I know that I have it. Amen.
Amen.
The answer's on the way. Amen. Say it out loud. The curse is going.
The
money's coming.
The curse is going.
Healing is coming. Amen. Shout it out loud. I have it.
I have it.
See, and when you come into a state of knowing, it's almost like time stands still. Doesn't matter whether it's 5 minutes or 5 days or 5 weeks, you have it. You know that you have it. Hallelujah. You know that you have it.
Amen.
You know that you have it. You know, we ought to be embarrassed. We ought to be embarrassed. We go on Amazon, we order toilet paper, and it says it'll be there tomorrow by a certain time. And we just take it for granted. You tell your wife, you know, she says we're out of toilet paper. No problemo. I ordered some. It's on the way. Shout out loud, it's on the way.
It's on the way.
I came down to this house to tell you tonight that if Amazon can deliver, the Ancient of Days can deliver.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If Amazon can bring it to your door, the Ancient of Days can bring it to your door.
Amen.
If Amazon can get it to you on time, I came down to this house to tell you tonight that the Ancient of Days can get it to you on time.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 We should be ashamed of ourselves. You know, you might get an email, it's been delayed, it'll be there tomorrow. You don't wig out, you don't slit your wrists, you don't curse God and die.
Come on. Come on.
You say to your wife, well, it's coming tomorrow, but it's coming.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, it may be a day late, but it's on the way, glory to God.
Amen.
Well, why can't we do that with the promises of God?
Amen.
I said, why can't we count on God like we count on Amazon? Tell your neighbor, it's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
It is. It's embarrassing. But it's up to you. You can think thoughts of faith just as easily as you can think thoughts of doubt and unbelief. It's up to you. So make every prayer relative to what you've asked for a statement of faith instead of unbelief. Make every prayer relative to what you've asked for a statement of faith instead of unbelief. And remember our text, or one of them, Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all kinds of prayer, all manner of prayer, all kinds of prayer, all manner of prayer. You understand, here in taking seven steps, we're only talking about one kind of prayer. We're talking about a prayer of faith or a prayer of petition. And the rules that govern one kind of praying don't necessarily govern another kind of prayer. Someone will say, well, prayer is prayer, isn't it? Yeah, well, sports is sports, aren't they? You don't play baseball with football rules, do you? And you don't play basketball with golf rules, do you? No, sports is sports, they say. But, you know, prayer is prayer. But if you play different sports with different rules, you're going to be in a mess. Prayer is prayer, they say, but you pray different prayers according to different kinds of rules. Are you listening?
Yes.
So here we're talking about your needs, and we're talking about things that God promises you in particular. If God promises you something, you have a right to believe for it. Now, I know that, you know, this has been uphill 51 years, but I'm still trying to get God's people to believe God, that if God promises you something, it belongs to you, and you have every right to believe God for it. Now, there's another kind of praying, like the prayer, there are other kinds of praying, like the prayer of consecration, where different rules govern. Jesus consecrated himself to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26:39, it says, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. This was not a prayer of petition. This was not a prayer of faith. This was a prayer of consecration. So of course he prayed, not as I will, but as you will. And people take this prayer out of context. They want to apply that language to every kind of prayer. Wouldn't that be something if they were having a football game and they were playing football according to baseball rules? The players would be confused, the spectators would be confused, everybody would be confused. But God's not confused. But I'll tell you one thing, we've got too many confused Christians and there's no need to be confused. So they take Jesus' prayer of consecration out of context and they say we ought to be humble. We should close every prayer with, if it be thy will, because we don't know, and we need to be humble. Well, that's not being humble, that's being ignorant. Christians closing every prayer by saying, if it be thy will. He gave us a Bible. He gave us the Word of God. We ought to know what the will of God is.
Amen.
On any given subject.
Amen.
We ought to know what the will of God is. Say it out loud. The Word of God,
is the will of God
for my life. Say it again.
The Word of God
is the will of God
for my life.
So they're ignorant. They're ignorant of the Word. Now, we do know. Everyone here has a Bible, and the Bible is everywhere in 2024 because of the Internet. So only ignorant Christians don't know what the Word of God says about their situation, and only ignorant Christians close every prayer by saying, if it be thy will. Ignorant. ignorant of the Word of God, because if God promised it to me, I don't have to say if. If God promised it to me, and if it's in His Bible for me to find, why should I remain ignorant? Amen. Let me tell you what, there's opposition to this. I have faced it all of these years because, you know, I discovered these verses like, my God shall supply all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And I just get on it. I just get on it. I cement it into my mind and I get it down in my heart and I live by it and all my needs are met. And then I say, well, the Lord my God's making me rich in every way so I can be generous on every occasion. And there's resistance to this. It's amazing to me. I mean, God's people resist the Bible. I mean, what the heck? God's people resist the Bible. And we're not talking about bad stuff. We're talking about good stuff. You'll be made rich in every way. So, you know, but the resistance is that involves action that people don't want to get involved in and they don't want to take, and it involves time and they don't want to take time and they want everything to happen in 5 minutes. What would you think if someone came to the altar and you were their prayer partner and you talked to them and found out they had never been a Christian, but they wanted to become a Christian? You'd explain to them about repentance and believing that God raised Jesus from the dead and confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then they started praying. What would you think if they started praying, Lord, if it's your will, save me? Well, you'd stop them. I said you would stop them. And you would explain to them that it is the will of God for them to be saved, and you'd take them to the Word on it. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise. As some understand slowness, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Or you might take them to Romans 10:9-13, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the Scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And you know, if you were the prayer partner, you'd tell them, you don't need to question whether it's the will of God to save you, because we have His Word on the matter. So we know what His will is regarding salvation. We know it is the will of God for you to be saved. How do you know it's the will of God? Because God said in Revelation 22:19, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. God will not turn them away. So the benchmark question when we lay hands on people is this: will you be healed now when I lay hands on you? And if the answer is anything but an emphatic yes, then there is but a very slim chance that person will be healed. Now, one of the reasons I've been going down this road in 2024 is so we can get better results at Faith Christian Center. I think that by and large, we have been sloppy in how we approach God and how we receive from God. And, you know, if we get 5 or 10% healed, you know, we praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I think a lot of the slim results are that we have people coming to have hands laid on them, people coming to have the anointing of oil applied to them, and they have not prepared their hearts. The benchmark question when we lay hands on people is this: will you be healed now when I lay my hands on you? And if the answer is anything but an emphatic yes, then there is but a very slim chance that person will be healed. Why? Why? Why is that? Because if they are not at a place where they can answer with an emphatic yes, then they have not worked through these 7 steps before coming forward for prayer and having hands laid on them and being anointed with oil. They are not yet convinced of the Word. And that is the whole enchilada. They are not yet convinced of the Word. That's why we have 7 steps. And I want to hear about no 7 steps. I want to hear about a half a step. Look, all of this is designed to get you to an end destination, and that is where you are convinced of the Word of God, and the devil can't talk you out of it, and Facebook buddies can't talk you out of it, and friends can't talk you out of it. Nobody can talk you out of it. Because you have become into a, you have gone beyond a state of hoping into a state of knowing. And it doesn't happen in 3 minutes. It doesn't happen quickly. It takes time. Because as I said on March 6th and the Sunday before that, we got this hot, steamy pile of unbelief over here. Jesus said, Matthew 17, 20, if you have faith as a seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. But that's not all that's going on. Because when we zoomed out March 6th and we looked at that passage, the disciples were unable to cast the devil out of that boy because of their unbelief. They had faith. They were following Jesus. They had faith. But we got this hot, steamy pile of unbelief over here. And it must be dealt with. And the one way we deal with it is we follow these seven steps. We meditate on, we find the scriptures that cover our situation, and we meditate on the scriptures that cover our situation, and we rehearse the scriptures that cover our situation, and we set fear aside. Tell your neighbor, set fear aside.
Set fear aside.
Tell the neighbor on the other side, we set fear aside. Hallelujah. And then we go to thinking about how big God is and how wonderful God is and how the devil's defeated. Hallelujah. And how he ain't nothing. He is a defeated foe. And we confess the Word of God and we go to thanking God and praising God. And what happens when we do all that is we come into a state of knowing. We come into a state of certainty. We come into a state of being where we are convinced of the Word of God. The Bible says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Amos 3:3. See, what's happening is, if I'm laying hands on somebody and they have not done their homework, we're not in agreement. See, I'm believing and they're hoping. I said, I'm believing and they're seeing if it works. And their mindset is, well, I'll go up and get hands laid on me, and if it's the will of God that I be healed, I'll be healed. And if it's not the will of God that I be healed, then I won't be healed. And when we think like that, man, the devil's got us. Because all he's got to do is delay you a little bit, and you'll quit and give up. See, I've got to get people over to believing. My job is to move people from hoping to believing, and it's very difficult when people come to church so sporadically. You know, we had a relative one time tell my wife, he says, your husband only talks about church attendance because he's a pastor, and that's why he thinks church attendance is important. Well, he's defeated. He ain't got nothing. He's a relative, I know. I told my mother-in-law, I said, if I had known that his daughter wouldn't have a wedding cake because they couldn't afford it, I'd have bought it myself. And she said, well, I would have too. This is a filthy generation. This is an apostate generation. This is an ungodly generation. They are morally filthy. There is a moral degeneracy at every level. And you can't hardly turn on a show or a movie without them hitting you upside the face and slapping you in the face with all this immoral, ungodly stuff. And we don't even realize, we do not even realize how polluted we are by this world and by this generation. The writer of Hebrews, most certainly the Apostle Paul, said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We should be meeting all the more as we see the day approaching. And yet, here I am, you know, old Gene. Yeah, been doing this 51 years, and I'm telling you, I mean, In one of our cars, we got a message, Kenneth Hagin, the one that went to be with the Lord in 2003, preaching about how there'll be terrible times in the last days, and he's talking about what was going on 30 years ago, and every time Sue and I are in that vehicle and hear that, we think, man, he had no idea what was coming. 30 years ago, I mean, he had no idea what was coming. As you see the day approaching, you ought to be in church more, not less.
Amen.
I'm not chastising you. You're here. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. And I'll tell you something else, too. There's absolutely something powerful about sitting in a service live and hearing the Word of God preached.
Amen.
There's nothing like it. You know, we're very dependent upon listening to our fathers in the faith, and we're grateful for it. But there's nothing like sitting in a meeting live and hearing the Word of God preached. See, people don't want to pray. They don't want to study their Bibles. They don't want to come to church. They don't want to obey God in the tithe. And then when the doctor says there's no hope, they want us to work a miracle for them. And the odds are very slim, very slim, very slim. So then they go to Pentecostaling, chasing after signs, wonders, and miracles at the bottom of an anointing jar of oil or at the end of a 21-day Daniel diet. And it's sad, it's pitiful, and it doesn't work. I've spent 51 years trying to get God's people to believe God. Sometimes I feel like Moses. My job is to get you over from hoping to believing. That's my job. My job is to get you over from hoping to believing. That's my job.
Amen.
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 And we can do it, but it's going to take a little homework. You know one of the beefs? It's amazing. We've been doing Christian schoolwork since 1978. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Sue and I pioneered our first Christian school in 1978. We've been doing this a while. And there have been complaints down through the years, but I never would have thought that the newest complaint is homework. Imagine people spending whatever it costs, you know, all this money to send a child to private school, and then they want to complain about homework. Listen, homework is part of building an education into children.
Amen.
And if you can't do homework in junior high school and high school, college is going to decapitate you. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
So homework is just part of life. Amen?
Amen.
I said homework is just part of life.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes people pray. Sometimes people say, I thought you'd lay hands on me, and if it's God's will to heal me, he'd heal me, and if it's not God's will to heal me, he wouldn't. Well, see, in cases like that, we're both wasting our time. We get healed the same way we get saved. We get healed the same way we get saved. We hear the Word of God. Faith comes. We take God at his word, and based on God's word, we believe and we confess.
Amen.
It's what I used to call up at I-30, the process of faith. We hear the word of God, faith comes, we take God at his word, and based on God's word, we believe and we confess. Then we just take for granted that his word is true, and we go right on down the road and act accordingly. Back up at I-30, I called it the process of faith. It comes out of Romans 10, 9 to 11, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will not be put to shame. See, that's what the devil wants to come along and tell you, that if you put your trust in God on healing, you're going to be put to shame. Whoops, there it is. And Satan comes along with his bag of what ifs. You know, I come into a state of knowing. We were meeting in the hotel. We were getting ready to borrow $825,000 to build that first building up there. And God gave me a promise out of Isaiah. He said, you'll not be put to shame. You'll not be ashamed. This is one of Satan's devices to tell you that if you put your faith in God, you're going to be ashamed. Now, you can go to 15 doctors and, you know, you won't be put to shame. But if you put your faith in God, you're going to be put to shame. We're not against doctors. If it weren't for doctors, all the Christians would be dead. So You know, but I'm just saying, we ought to go to God first. We ought to go to God first. But that's what Satan does. He convinces us that if we go to God, we're going to be put to shame. It's not going to work out. And he comes along with his bag of what ifs. No, we believe something, we confess something, and then we assume that we will not be put to shame. In other words, we assume that God's word is true and good, and that God will make his word good in our lives. Say it out loud. God's word is true. God's word is good. And God will make his word true in our lives. See, but we can't waver. We can't waver. We can't be double-minded like that guy in James. We have to run the devil out of our thought life. We got to run the devil out of our mouth. We got to stop talking about how big the problem is. We got to go to talking about how big God is. We got to stop talking about all the circumstances and all the symptoms and all of that. And we got to let the word of God come out of our mouth. Amen?
Amen.
It's the only offensive weapon God gave us. We take God's word for it that we are saved. Now apply all that to healing. It's the same process. It's the process of faith. Nobody says, Lord, if it be thy will, save me. Because we know from the word of God what he has to say about salvation. And it's being preached to us nonstop all across the land in a lot of churches anyway. And so people don't question whether or not it's God's will to save them. But because healing or prosperity or success is not being preached like salvation, people want to question whether or not it's the will of God. Over here in this realm of healing, we haven't heard the word as much on that topic, preached so much. And friend, that's the difference. Let the sick say, he sent his word and healed me and delivered me from all of my destruction. Say it out loud. The Lord my God sent his word and healed me and delivered me from all of my destructions. I want you to notice that it's all past tense. It's all completed action. It's done.
Amen.
How about this one? Jesus took up our infirmities and bore away our diseases. Say it out loud. Jesus took up our infirmities and bore away our diseases. Hallelujah. It's all past tense. It's all done. It's all completed action. Hallelujah. Out of Isaiah 53, surely he hath borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. Matthew 8:17, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. It's all past tense. It's all completed action. It's done. Jesus took up our infirmities. He bore away our diseases. And with his stripes, we have been healed. 1 Peter 2:24, shout out loud, with his stripes, we have been healed. So our attitude, I mean, if we renew our mind to the word of God, we get the word of God settled in our mind. Our attitude is not we're trying to get to a healing. Our attitude is we're coming from a healing. Our attitude is, Satan, take your hands off my body. Jesus made an open show and spectacle of you on Calvary's cross. Jesus put to naught every work of yours on Calvary's cross. And besides, most of what we're praying about is a curse of the law. If you look it up in Deuteronomy 28, and then we got Galatians 3:13-14, Christ redeemed us. What tense is that? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who's hung on a tree. So the truth of the matter is, we're healed right now. The devil's a liar. We're healed right now. So we got to exercise the authority he gave us. Hallelujah. He gave us authority over every work of the devil. Jesus said, behold, I give you authority over snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. But Satan would have you believe that if you exercise your rights in Christ, you're going to be put to shame and you'll end up in the casket. But Jesus said, nothing shall by any means harm you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So stand up, stand up, stand up, and run the devil out. Because Jesus gave you the authority.
Amen.
And he gave you the authority to speak to your mountain. He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have, he shall have, he shall have,
amen,
he shall have,
amen,
he shall have,
hallelujah,
whatsoever he saith. And Jesus said, if you have faith as a seed, you can say. If you have faith as a seed, but we got a lot of Christians, they ain't got no seed. They ain't got no seed. But Jesus said, if you got faith as a seed, you can say. You can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Yeah, but I did all that, and the mountain didn't move. Brother, you just got to stay with it and believe God and not believe the mountain. I said, brother, you just got to stay with it and believe God and not believe the mountain.
Amen.
You got to stop looking at what you can see, taste, touch, hear, smell, and see, and you've got to start going by the Word of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And just get upset about it. Say, mountain, you got to move because I got the Word of God on it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Mountain, you've got to move because I got the Word of God on it.
Amen.
Jesus said, I shall have whatsoever I saith. Jesus said, if I have faith as a seed, I can say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, one reason we don't get better results is because we're taking all this stuff to God and we're wanting Him to do something. But He gave you the authority. He gave you the authority over the works of Satan. And He gave you the authority to speak to your mountain. So, but you know what we want to do is go to God, whine, cry, beg, complain, how big it is, what the doctor said. Oh, my God. Was the doctor wearing a mask when he said what he was saying? That tells you the IQ right there. Well, Lord, the doctor said, dear God. See, people who are not hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, they don't stand a chance.
That's right. Amen.
Because this is one filthy world out here.
Amen.
It is an adulterous and a sinful generation.
Amen.
And we have got to counterbalance all of that with more word, not less word.
Amen.
We have to counterbalance all of that with more word, not less word. So change what you're saying if you want the victory. I said change what you're saying if you want the victory. I thought I said change what you're saying if you want the victory.
Amen.
And change what you're thinking about if you want the victory. I said change what you're thinking about if you want the victory. Say what the Word says if you want the victory. See, there's a miracle in your mouth. Only say and pray, Lord, if it be thy will to heal me, if you want to stay sick. If you want to go pick out your burial plot and pick out your casket, go ahead and pray, if it be thy will. I'm not going to offend God by saying, if it be thy will. I mean, I can read, and I've got a Bible, so I know what His will is.
Amen.
Amen. He Himself took our infirmities and bore our diseases, by whose stripes you were healed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Full gospel people seem to have the idea that we have to get God to do something. I know I've been guilty of that myself, but the work is done. I said the work has been done. So find scriptures that promise you the things you're praying for, whether it's healing or finances or anything else. The Lord's saying to me right now, speak it into existence. Speak it into existence. Know the will of God. Know what God has promised about your situation. Anything you have God's word for, you don't have to put an if in front of your prayers or at the end of your prayer. Shout out loud 5 times, God's word is God's will. Now, don't take what I'm saying out of context. I still pray the prayer of consecration occasionally. I've been praying it for at least 51 years. Lord, if this is what you want me to do, I'll do it. Father, if you want me to give this money, I'll give it. Because I don't know altogether what God wants me to do, but I'm willing to do whatever He wants me to do. I don't always know what He wants me to give to or how much. Bless God, I'm willing to do whatever He wants me to do because I'm dedicated and I'm consecrated to His will. But that's a prayer of consecration. That's not a prayer of petition. And it's not a prayer of faith. And it's not a prayer of agreement. You see, a prayer of consecration won't work here when I'm praying about my needs or my healing or some specific thing that I already have God's word on. We need to see that and understand that. So make every prayer and every statement relative to what you've asked for a statement of faith instead of unbelief. Now, Andrew Murray was a great prayer, and he was born in 1828 in South Africa, and he wrote a number of good books on the subject of prayer. And Andrew Murray said it's not good taste to ask God for the same thing over and over and over. He said, once you've asked one time and found the scriptures that apply to your case and said you believe God, then if you're praying again and it hasn't materialized, don't ask for it the same way, because if you do, you're in doubt. But rather remind God of His Word. We dealt with that last night. Put me in remembrance. Remind God of His Word and remind God that you expect the answer. That is part of the power of Oral Roberts' book, The Miracle of Seed Faith. Point number one in The Miracle of Seed Faith, see God as your source. So if it's money, He's El Shaddai, He's Jehovah Jireh. If it's healing, He's Jehovah Rapha. See God as your source. Number two in Oral Roberts, The Miracle of Seed Faith, plant a seed of faith. Because Jesus said, if you have faith, Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And then the third point is, expect a miracle. Anticipate a miracle. That's the power of that book. Because when people follow those steps, they come into a state of expectation. So remind, don't ask God for the same thing over and over and over. If you ask God for the same thing 500 times, you have told God that the first 499 times you were asking in unbelief. Amen. And then what happens is you get your mind in a state whereby you never expect an answer, because you ask Him for the same thing 500 times. So ask for what you're asking for one time, and then if you ever go to God about it again, well, if it hasn't materialized, simply remind Him of His Word and remind Him that you expect the answer, and then go to praising God for the answer. You see, that way you stay in faith. So if you get prayed for a second time or have hands laid on you a second time, you say, Lord, I'm not going down there like the rest of them, because I have already believed that I have received my healing. I'm just going down there for so-and-so to lay hands on me and agree with me for what I've already believed I have received from you. Can you see that? I'm not going down there like the rest of them. I'm going down there to have so-and-so lay hands on me and agree with me for what I've already believed I have received from your hand. Now, this is so incredibly important. We need to get our mind right on our language and how we approach God, because I am convinced that a lot of my prayers, this is a terrible admission, but it is completely true. I'm convinced that a lot of my prayers over these years have been prayed in unbelief. So I'm working on eradicating unbelief out of my life. Because Jesus said, if you have faith as a seed, that was after they failed to drive that demon out of that boy. And Jesus said, if you have faith as a seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. So if you can move a mountain with a seed with faith the size of a mustard seed, there's another problem. And that's what he dealt with in verse 21. The problem is this hot, steamy pile of unbelief we have going. And we got to do something about that, amen? Because you see, if we keep going forward and saying, well, I didn't get it, I didn't get it, I didn't get it, we're baptizing our prayers in unbelief. And it becomes a stance. It becomes a posture. It becomes a mindset of unbelief. But you see, if we just keep trying to get healed and stay in unbelief, nothing happens. Get in this line, nothing happens. Go over to that meeting, nothing happens. Have the hands laid on us, nothing happens. Get anointed with oil, nothing happens. And then we get in a mindset, we get in a state, we get in a posture of unbelief. It's all right to pray again if you stay in faith. Tell your neighbor, it's all right to pray again. If you stay in faith. If you pray again, don't ask God for the same thing. That's why we make this statement, make every prayer and every statement relative to what you've asked God for a statement of faith instead of a statement of unbelief. And then just get in the habit of talking to the Lord. You know, when you're getting dressed, when you're shaving, when you're driving to work, thank you, Father God, I have it. Amen. I have believed I have received it. Father God, I just put you in remembrance. I have believed I have received, and I thank you, Father God, according to your word, I have it. I thank you, Father God, Satan's a defeated foe. I don't have to worry about the devil. Jesus defeated him for me. I thank you, Father God, by the stripes of Jesus, I was already healed. I thank you, Father God, Jesus took up my infirmities, bore away my diseases. I thank you, Father God, Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for me. For it is written, cursed is everyone who's hung on a tree. So, Father God, I thank you that I have it. I thank you I have it. The curse is going and healing is coming. I believe I receive it, Father God. And just go to praising God for it. Thank you, Father God, the money's coming. 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 I could say it a million times because I need 24 of them. Amen. In fact, I could say it 24 million times. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you promised to meet all of our needs and you promised to make us rich in every way so we could be generous on every occasion. Thank you, Father God. You're faithful and true. I love this. I love this. Jeremiah 1:12. Thank you, Father God. I count it as done. Because I know that you abide faithful and true. And I know that you're watching over your word to fulfill it. Thank you, Father God, I count it done. Because I know that you abide faithful and true. And I know that you're actually hastening to perform your word. So I thank you, Father God, it's done. It's done. It's done. It's done. I praise your holy name for it, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, talk like that. Talk like that. Amen. Talk like that. When you're getting ready, when you're getting dressed, when you're driving to work, when you're driving home from work. Amen. Amen. And speak to the thing. Speak to the thing. Speak to the thing. Curse the damn thing. If it's a curse of the law, amen. Don't put cream on a rash. Rashes are a curse of the law. Curse the damn thing and say, you don't belong on my body because you are listed as a curse of the law. So you have got to go because Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. Where do I get authority for that? Well, Mark 11:23, Matthew 17:20. He gave us authority to speak to our mountains. He didn't tell us to talk about our mountains. He didn't tell us to talk about how big the devil is. He didn't tell us to talk about how big the problem is. He didn't tell us to talk about how long we've had this problem. He didn't tell us to talk about how grandma had a rash and mom had a rash and everybody in the family's got a rash and man, we are all rashed out. We don't know what the heck to do. No, he said, speak to the thing. Amen. Curse the damn thing in the name of Jesus. Command it to get off your body because Satan is trespassing and he's got no right to be there. Amen. Amen. And if it is from Satan, it is damnable. My language is correct. One night in Dallas, Texas, Smith Wigglesworth said to a man in the healing line, weren't you in the healing line last night? And the man said, yeah, but I didn't get healed. And Smith Wigglesworth rolled around and kicked him in the seat of his britches and said, don't talk unbelief to me. God healed you last night. Get out of here. You know, I'm only 68, but when I cross over into my 70s, I might go to kicking people. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, when we pray the same prayer in the same way a second time, we're actually saying to God, well, my prayer didn't work last time, so I have to do it over. I need a mulligan. No, what we should do is say, I prayed, I believe God, I'm on the road to recovery, so I praise God for my healing and my recovery. I prayed, hallelujah, I believe God, I'm on the road to recovery, so I praise God for my healing, and I praise God for my recovery. Amen. And stay in faith, and stay in faith, and stay in faith, and stay in faith, and stay in faith. And I know we spent 3 nights on it, but I got to review it again. When these thoughts of unbelief and fear and every word contrary to the written word of God come into your mind, you must resist them with those scriptures that you have looked up that cover your situation. Make every prayer and every statement relative to what you have asked for a statement of faith instead of a statement of unbelief. Raymond T. Ritchie used to say, don't keep praying about it, keep praising God for the answer. So make every prayer and every statement relative to what you've asked for, a statement of faith instead of a statement of unbelief. You can say, I do have faith just as easily as you can talk about unbelief. You can say, the word of God is true just as easily as you can make a statement of unbelief. You can say, the Lord heard my prayer just as easily as you can make a statement of unbelief. It's thinking faith thoughts and speaking faith words that leads the heart out of defeat and into victory. I said it is thinking faith thoughts and speaking faith words that leads the heart out of defeat and into victory. And do not accept no as the answer. Well, sometimes God says no. No, if you've taken step number one and you found the scriptures that definitely promise you what you want from God, you know the will of God. God's not going to say, it's not my will to heal you, when Jesus already took up your infirmities and bore your diseases, and with his stripes you've already been healed. God's not going to say to you, it's not my will to meet your needs, when he already said in Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Are you listening to me? So don't accept no from an answer, because if you hear no, that's not God, that's the devil. Do not be denied. It's your family right. It's your redemption right. It's your gospel right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's your right as a child of God. It's your right as a citizen of heaven. It's your right to have what God has promised. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So make every prayer and every statement relative to what you've asked for God, for what you've asked for, a statement of faith instead of a statement of unbelief. Say, I do have faith. Say it aloud, I do have faith. I mean, surely everybody here's got faith at least the size of a mustard seed, right?
Amen.
Say, I do have faith.
I do have faith.
I do have faith.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So say, I have what I prayed about.
I have what I prayed about.
Hallelujah. I have what I prayed about. See, I'm not struggling. I'm not trying to get it. I have it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you can say, I do have faith.
You can say, I have what I've prayed for, just as easily as you can make a statement of unbelief. It'll come, it's yours, so praise God for it until it becomes a reality. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, your word is good. Thank you, Father God, your word is true. Thank you, Father God, Jesus made an open show and spectacle of Satan on Calvary's cross. Thank you, Father God, Jesus put to naught every work of Satan on Calvary's cross. Thank you, Father God, by the stripes of Jesus, we've already been healed. Jesus took up our infirmities. He bore away our diseases. Thank you, Father God, by the stripes of Jesus, we've already been healed. Thank you, Father God, you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from all of our destructions. Thank you, Father God, you promised to meet all of our needs according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father God, you're making us rich in every way so we can be generous on every occasion. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God.
Amen.
The money's on the way.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Healing is on the way.
Hallelujah.
The devil is defeated. Jesus is Lord, and the word of God is true.
Amen.
Thank you, Father God. Healing is coming. Thank you, Father God. The money's coming. Thank you, Father God. Every need's met. Thank you, Father God. Every bill is paid. Thank you, Father God. I'm being made rich in every way so I can be generous on every occasion. Thank you, Father God, I'm healed. The devil's a liar, and I'm healed. I'm healed right now.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father God, I'm not trying to get to a healing. Thank you, Father God, I'm coming from a healing.
Yes.
Thank you, Father God, I don't need to get you to do a thing because Jesus already did the work. Thank you, Father God, you made provision. You made provision for all of my needs. Thank you, Father God, you made provision for my healing. Thank you, Father God, you made provision. Thank you, Father God, the work's done.
Yes.
Thank you, Father God, Jesus did the work,
yes.
And then Jesus sat down.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father God, I'm a victor in Christ.
Yes.
Thank you, Father God, I've got the answer.
Yes.
Thank you, Father God, I'm blessed when I come in.
Yes.
Thank you, Father God, I'm blessed when I go out.
Yes.
Thank you, Father God, I'm always on the top.
Yes.
Thank you, Father God, I'm never on the bottom.
Yes.
Thank you, Father God, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. Thank God Almighty, I'm healed. Thank you, Father God, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. Thank you, Father God, I'm healed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Why don't we stand up and you praise the Lord? Why don't we stand up and you praise the Lord? Lift your hands, lift your hearts. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And be loud about it. Be noisy about it. I said be loud about it. Be noisy about it. Thank you, Father God. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. From the crown of my head to the soles of my feet,
Thank you, Father God, I'm healed. Hallelujah. The devil's a liar. The devil's defeated. Jesus is Lord. The Word of God is true. Hallelujah. 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 We have a great big God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we have a defeated devil, and he is under our feet. Hallelujah. And every device of the devil is defeated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the curse of the law has no right and no place in us. Hallelujah. We have been delivered from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Mr. Devil, you just gather up your curses and you head on out of here, because we have no need of you and we have no need of your curses. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. How dare you, devil, try and put your hand on a child of God? Hallelujah. I exercise authority in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I say I am healed, and I am whole, and I am well, and I am victorious, and all my needs are met, and all my bills are paid, and I'm made rich in every way. Hallelujah. I've got the victory. Hallelujah. The devil's defeated, and I've got the victory. Hallelujah. I said the devil's defeated, and I've got the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Word of God is true. The devil is defeated. The work of Jesus is done, and we walk in it. Hallelujah. 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 Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Be loud about it. I said, be loud about it. Be loud about it. Hallelujah. You know, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. On one of those rare occasions, the Cowboys do something, the crowd goes nuts, you know, for five solid minutes. But we just can't bring ourselves. What's wrong with us? We just can't bring ourselves to, how, you know, just act crazy for 5 or 10 minutes. I was getting ready this morning. I saw myself looking at my watch and saying, "All right, go crazy for 10 minutes, and you're not allowed to stop till you go crazy for 10 minutes." Because you know, if the Cowboys happen to do something, you know, something just happened by accident, people just go crazy, you know, for 5 solid minutes. But we're talking about your life.
Amen.
We're talking about your long life.
Amen.
We're talking about your financial status. We're talking about whether you live or die.
Yes.
We're talking about your healing.
Yes.
Can you see that?
Yes.
See, somebody will go to dancing here when they get it. Hallelujah. I praise your holy name, my Father. I delight myself in you, my Father. Breathe on, Holy Spirit of God. Breathe on. Breathe on, Holy Spirit of God. Breathe on. Breathe on. Breathe on, Holy Spirit of God. Breathe on. Holy Spirit of God, breathe on. Breathe on. Breathe on. Hallelujah. Breathe on. Breathe on. Breathe on. Breathe on. Holy Spirit of God, breathe on. Breathe on him, Holy Spirit of God, breathe on him. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Breathe on that. Holy Spirit of God, breathe on that. Heal. Stretch forth thine hand to heal and perform many miraculous signs and wonders by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Stretch forth thine hand to heal. Perform many miraculous signs and wonders by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Stretch forth thine hand to heal. Perform many miraculous signs and wonders by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Hallelujah, my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, my God, 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 hallelujah. I praise you. I praise your holy name. I thank you that I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. Thank God Almighty, I'm healed. I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. Thank God Almighty, I'm healed. Hallelujah, my God. 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 Praise your holy name, my God. I'd align myself and you, my Father. My Father, I praise your holy name, O Lord, my God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, that your word is true. I thank you, Father God, that you abide faithful and true. I thank you, Father God, you're watching over your word to fulfill it. I thank you, Father God, that you're hastening to perform your word. So, Father God, as our mouths are filled with your word, I thank you, Father God, for making your word come to pass in our lives, in our homes, in our bodies, in our families, and in our finances. I thank you, Father God, this congregation has the word of God garrisoned round about them, not only to protect them, but they have the word of God, which is the only offensive weapon we have. And I thank you, Father God, that they will go forth from these days and they will take up that sword of the Lord, which is the word of God. And they will stop talking about their mountain and they will begin speaking to their mountain and they'll believe they receive in Jesus' holy name. I thank you for it, Father God. Now stretch forth thine hand to heal and perform many miraculous signs and wonders by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And we'll be careful to give you all the credit and the glory and the honor for it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' holy Hallelujah. Name.